Have you here on this very rainy day in Pennsylvania, where we are televising live from the city of brotherly love. I hear you guys out in the Massachusetts, New Hampshire area are going to get bombed with snow. So this is one time that I don't mind the fact that I'm not in Beantown right now. So I'm glad that everybody's here. Looking forward to a great show. We've got some great guests coming up, and I'm hoping that you guys enjoy it. In the meantime, Some housekeeping, we are getting the chat room up, and welcome to everybody that's in there. So glad that you guys could come over and just say hi, what's going on, and join us on this kind of wintry, rainy day. I'm not complaining, though, because for me, rain means that spring is definitely coming here. And all of you out there that's waiting for snow, please don't swear at me, I promise. I'm just stating the obvious. If it's snowing, obviously things aren't growing. But over here, the rain is actually starting to turn things green, and you can actually see grass, and that's a good sign for me. So it's been very hopeful. I want to welcome everybody back. We were not here last week. Again, there's a lot of electrical work going on. So once again, we kind of weren't able to broadcast. It's kind of getting annoying, but we'll be getting taken care of it pretty soon. So I'm glad that we're here. Little glitches. Show started a little late. Hey, but better late than never. So for those of you that are out there, welcome. You can find us on the internet, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman. WMN is the spelling for that. And you can go right to the segment page and take a look at what's coming on for this show. We have a couple of great guests for you that I'll introduce for you in a little bit. But in the meantime, you can go in there and listen to the past shows if you haven't had the opportunity to do that yet, and you can catch up that way. So I'm really looking forward to you guys coming down there. If not, while you're listening to the show, if you find anything interesting that you would like to talk to us about, call in. If you are an entertainer or a musician and you've got any shows coming up, feel free to call us in. We're always willing to plug you for free. We don't charge and we don't bite, and we would love to hear from you. So if you have any shows or anything that you would like to announce, feel free to call us in. The call-in number is 1-347-989-1473. That's the regular line. If you are incurring a cost when you call us, feel free to call our toll-free number, 1-877-907-7217. And you can reach us, and that way you won't have any cost. If you happen to be out on the go and have a smartphone, you can reach us on Blog Talk Radio, the mobile app as well. Listen to us on the show. You can also download us from iTunes, and that's a podcast, so it's not like it's going to take up a lot of room on your computer. You can listen to us that way, or you can download us if you are that much of a fan of us that you like to do that. You're more than welcome to. Before we go into the show tonight, I want to play a song. For those of you that are in the New England area, this great band that I've been talking about, My Silent Bravery, has been nominated for a music award in the Worcester area. So if you go to Facebook, go to their page, My Silent Bravery, you can look them up on there, and the links are there for voting. So I'm going to love this song because it's how I feel. I need to be prepared. The song is called Are You Prepared by My Silent Bravery, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
I'm all in when I go all out. You put in is what you're bound to get out of nowhere. Here come that rushing in doubt. Are you prepared to ride this one out?
Are you target in sight? You're nearly there, but then you want to give up in the air. Well, one ends up, we all know almost is not enough.
I'm so excited. I hope you like that. Like I said, if you go to the Facebook page, you can look them up, My Silent Bravery. Definitely a great band for you guys to check out and get a feel for, and definitely vote. If nothing else, you want to vote, vote, vote. Make sure you get out there and get the votes for them. So I want to let you know that my mountain man is not feeling well today. I am flying solo, 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 as you can hear from all the glitches that's going on in the background. Oh, my gosh. I just wrote anytime or Amy. I mean, anytime, anytime, Amy. So, yes, I am by my lonesome trying to figure out how to do all these great things by myself. So, yes, what I want to let you guys know, our guest tonight is going to be, we're going to have a gentleman that wrote a book. His name is Alan Schwartz. Now, I love baseball, and I love a good mystery, so this is why I really like this guy, because he actually wrote a baseball book, which is a mystery, and we're going to have him calling in later on today, so I'm kind of looking forward to talking to him and stuff. And our guest for the second hour is going to be Frank Imbrogno. He's an actor, and he's got a lot of great things that he's going to be sharing with us as well, so looking forward to that. So while I still continue to sort out all the little glitches in the studio, I know, Angel Girl, I know. Oh, my shout-outs, thank you. See, I got someone already helping me out in there. Love it. We got Amy Moquin is in the building. Betty, Billy. Hey, Billy. Franny, oh, my gosh, long time no see. Gary, Heidi, infamous Angel, as always, Angel Girl. Mary Rose, Robert, Starlight, and Wesley. Welcome, welcome, everyone. So what I'm going to do, because I can, because I am in charge, haha, tell me that's not a scary thought, me in charge of something. Man, anyway, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play another song so I can continue to get the kinks out of the switchboard. Never really realized how much work it was when you're flying solo. So I'm going to play another song for you guys to get you pumped up, get you going, get you moving. I would just play every song I have by My Silent Bravery, but then I think they'd be saying that I was being a little too... maybe too biased, you think? They wouldn't like that? I think this song fits in. I'm going to play this song, Lost My Damn Mind by Cardiac, because that's how I feel today. And I'll hope you enjoy it, and check you guys out in a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me you all have not been feeling like that lately, like you've lost your dang mind. Like, I swear, it's like I feel like I have it in my head, but somehow my head isn't where it should be, so I keep losing everything and forgetting everything. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I have to say, my correspondent, she's slacking. I'm going to get on your case now. Angel girl, we need to get our American Idol update. Where are you? What you up to, girl? You're slacking. So call us in. Let us know what's going on and fill us in. And let us know what's going on with American Idol. I have to say, I have not been watching it. I haven't had the time, and it's kind of been bum. So you need to call me. And Linda, hi, Linda, how are you? It's so nice, first time. So far, so good. Yeah, I know. It's been one of those days. Trying to pluck along. This is one thing people don't understand. It's funny because I, not to date myself, but we used to watch a lot of the old shows back in the day, and I used to have my boys listen to the old, what was the name of it, The Shadow on radio, and I actually had the records about The Shadow and The Lone Ranger and Sherlock Holmes and all these. And one of the things that got me was how nerve-wracking live radio is, because you make a mistake and it's out there. And that's one of the things that's kind of challenging about doing live radio. I mean, I know I could kind of do pre-recorded, but it doesn't seem as much fun because I can't interact with you guys in the chat room as much, and I think that's fun of it. So, like I said, everyone bear with me. My co-host, who is my switchboard extraordinaire, is not feeling well, so I'm kind of a one-woman show today. So later on, like I said, we're going to have a couple of great guests calling in that I'm looking forward to. So hopefully, all good. All right, Angel Girl, she's, I love putting her on the spot. She's like, I'll call you when I'm done eating. Listen, what kind of correspondent are you? You got to give us a scoop, you know? That's what happens. And Amy, you're right. The season starts this weekend. We're talking about baseball. And we're itching for the smell of leather and dry dirt. I have to say, for you guys that don't know this, this is so funny to me. And Amy, I know you can relate to this. I remember years ago when my son, he was very young, and he actually got picked to play on a BFW Legion team. For those of you guys that are into baseball, it's a pretty big deal when you get picked to play on one of these teams. And he was fairly young, because at that time, they had actually done away with what they called the taxi squad. So either you picked a kid or you lost them and someone else could get him. So that's why they had to put him on the squad. He was like only 14 at the time. And I remember sitting there. Now, mind you, again, for those of you that have sat through baseball when you have little kids, you know the drill. There's T-ball, and then when you move up to Little League, you're like, okay. I mean, to Pee Wee or Little League, you're like, okay, this is great, a little faster. And then you move up to, you know, minor league, and then senior league, you're like, woo-hoo. Then you move up to high school, and you're like, yes. So if you're unfortunate enough, fortunately, to still have anybody younger that you have to go back to these leagues, you're like, oh, my gosh, because it's a lot slower. The pace is a lot slower. The games last a lot longer. Let me tell you something. I thought I had seen something when I had seen high school baseball. These kids in Legion are no joke. I remember sitting there and watching my son warm up the pitcher, and all you hear is the when it hits the glove, and you smell the leather, and you can literally feel the heat. It's amazing. I mean, that to me, that signals spring. You know, everybody says that spring comes, you know, March 21st, 22nd. If you're more spiritual, I happen to think sometimes spring kind of decides to show its head more around Easter Sunday when it starts warming up. But for me, really, the way I measure spring is spring training. When those big trucks leave Fenway Park, that's when I officially start looking for my shorts, because that's when I feel that spring's finally going to make an appearance. So, yeah, we're very optimistic this year, hoping that our Red Sox will actually do something. Although I have to admit that having family in Philly and traveling to Philly, it's kind of cool that you have a second team I can cheer for if my Red Sox don't make it. Not that I would ever cheer for anybody else if my Red Sox are there. But, yeah, so it's kind of cool that so the Phillies have been doing amazing this year. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the things we're going to have for one of our shows later on. We're actually going to be doing a whole segment on baseball, because I've always wanted to do like a sports talk show. I always thought that would be so cool to be able to do that. And you know what? I think I'm going to finally do it. So that'll be kind of cool. It's great. Here I am, like, I'm on the show, and I have, like, people texting me about stuff. They want me to relay messages. So it's kind of cool. Anyway, Angel Girl is telling me, and I know that you guys, gosh, I feel so bad for you guys in the East Coast. And I'm from the East Coast, but right now I happen to be lucky that I'm actually splitting my time between Massachusetts and Philly. Holy moly, what is up with you guys? It is amazing to me, the fact that you're getting, what, another 8 to 10 inches or something like that? And Amy, anytime, girlfriend, you want to jump in, you come right in and jump in there, because I'm like, always need a thing. I think that would be a great idea. What do you think, Amy? You and me, sports show, that would be awesome. That would be like the best thing ever. We could have it like on a different night so we don't compete with ourselves. I'll let Amy do all the talk. This is great because, you know, sports shows on radio are predominantly guys because that's what they have. So I think it would be cool to have a radio show about sports with women. And I know mostly we'd be talking about baseball, some basketball, football, mostly baseball. You, Amy, you are in for it now. I'm telling you, that's it. You're in for it. Yes, the New England area is going to supposedly get a foot of snow. And this is so funny. This is another thing that there's a saying. My son has this saying called, I'm so New England, or we're so Boston. Because if you're from New England and you hear the forecast and it says it's getting less than a foot, you're like, ah, it's less than a foot, no big deal. The rest of the country gets an inch, they shut down. But, you know, the reality is that we get less than a foot, and we're good to go. That's right, Amy. We do love basketball. We got a lot of basketball nuts in our house, too, as well. So I think, this is a good deal, Amy. We got something else going. Into the chat room, welcome. Real Talk, Real Women. Love that title. Welcome, welcome. I'm welcoming you guys to the show. Like I said, I'm kind of winging it because my tech guy is out sick today, but that's okay. I'm going to play another song because, you know, there's all these great songs. And that's another thing, while I remember. Guys, if you know of independent artists that have amazing songs that are radio friendly and they want to get them played, please, 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 please have them email us. ordinarywomanwmn@gmail.com. I would love to have them because one of the things that we actually have in the works is we're planning a show where it's going to be an all music segment, 2 hours, all nonstop independent music, because we want to get the word out there for these artists. And we're not picky as far as genres. We want to make this as diverse as possible. The only thing I ask is that it has to be radio friendly. If you have edgier stuff that's a little hardcore and has, you know, words or language that's not appropriate for regular radio, you can email me with information as well, because I do actually have a couple of friends that have a couple of really great independent radio stations underground too. Make sure we get you out there as well. But remember, if you have great songs or you know someone that has great music, please feel free to have them send them to me. There is no charge. I will keep you on the rotation forever until my listeners go, okay, you know what, that's enough. But that's something that I would like to do. We also have a segment page where we would like to highlight you, and we also have a blog as well. So if there's artists out there that would like for us to do a write-up on them, again, email us, ordinarywomanwmn@gmail.com. And that doesn't just apply to music artists. If you're an actor, a promoter, a writer, a business owner, if you can burp the alphabet backwards, that's pretty neat. If you can give me a video of that, we will definitely highlight you, because we would definitely love to do that. For you, for the listeners, if you can hear, we have Tiki Man is in the building. My 2-year-old grandson is keeping me company tonight. And if you can hear him, he's like, what is she doing? What is that? So you can hear him in the background. We're going to train him. He's going to have to be my wingman as well pretty soon, because he's a basketball freak as well. To remind you guys, don't forget, I mentioned it earlier in the show, please, 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 you need to go and vote. My Silent Bravery has been nominated for a music award in the Worcester area. Go to Facebook, look them up, and you will be able to actually vote for them on there. All right, with that note, I'm going to play one more song as we're waiting for our guest to call in. And like I said, I do apologize because we have been having a lot of glitches, not so much on my part, but on the other end as far as phone calls and stuff. So keeping our fingers crossed, hoping that everything works out well. If not, Angel Girl and I, we're going to be talking for like 2 hours here. And actually, when we come back from the break, from the music break, I'm going to start doing some emails so we can get some of those answers out. Oh, and don't forget, before we go to the break, I will come back and tell you guys the question, mystery question for the contest tonight. Remember, if you happen to guess the right answer, you too can have your own 15-minute segment on our show where you get to plan it, do it, be it, whatever you want to do. And we basically turn the controls over to you for those 15 minutes if you win the segment. So I hope one of you guys gets lucky out there. All right, with that, I'm going to play the song Whatever It Takes by Laquandra Seymour. She was one of the big winners in the Deborah Crosby Talent Quest in the last few months. If you guys ever get the opportunity, you get to see them on my TV. What is it, Deb? Amy, you can hit up the link on the chat room for us. They're my TV in, I think it's Channel 68 in our area. But Amy can let me know better, and I'll give you guys the information. But she's an amazing voice, a young girl, an amazing voice, and she will just blow you away, whatever it takes.
things are changing across the land. It'll lend a helping hand. It's only right to shine some light on the situation. Things are changing overnight. What they feed us makes us blind. That's why I'm here to buy some time, so we don't get left behind. Bad enough to control our minds and make it hard enough to find the truth beneath all their lies. Their deception's why things are crazy. Take a stand and free your mind.
Jenna Donovan with L.A. Fresh in Take a Stand. And before that, we had Quanah Seymour and her amazing hit of, oh, my goodness. Hold on. Oh, I love when I lose my train of thought. Don't you just love that? It's like all spacey and, actually, it's Whatever It Takes by LaQuanah Seymour. I'm back. All right, guys. So one of the things that I'm getting serious now is I have been getting a lot of mail recently, and it's kind of funny because this isn't something that kind of was the original intent of the show. The original intent of the show was just to highlight people that thought to be ordinary, and they really weren't, because the reality is, and I've commented on this to you guys on many occasions, that there is no such thing as an ordinary person. It doesn't exist. As much as we'd like to think of ourselves that way, not the case. Not the case at all. We're not ordinary. Everything we do in life is different from everybody else. And I don't care how boring Andy. Andy's in the building. Hi, Andy. Welcome to the show. How are you? So what I was saying is that I've said this many times. It does not matter how ordinary or boring or whatever you think your life is. You can think of the most boring, mundane, set your clock by their schedule type of person, and you will find something really different about them. But the reality is that we kind of downplay that. So one of the things that that was what we wanted to highlight with our show. Now, the thing that I have been noticing is the fact that I've been getting a lot of mail where people have kind of like been asking us for suggestions and for ideas, and have been actually kind of like a, I don't know, Dear Abby kind of thing. So we figured, you know what, we had so many of them piling up that I figured this is a good time as any. So I would love to get some input from our listeners. If you guys have any ideas or any suggestions or anything that you would recommend on top of what I give as a suggestion, because I hate to say giving advice because I'm not an expert. Goodness knows we all make mistakes. I could sit here for 10 years and tell you of all the mistakes I've made in my life. My family is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. My kids are not. I'm not, and my life isn't. But with that said, I guess there is kind of a little bit of maybe wisdom that comes with life in that sense that maybe for me it doesn't seem like it's that great of a wisdom, but the reality is that maybe we can offer advice to some other people, and I think collectively if we do that, that would be a great thing to do. So here goes with the first one. And like I said, guys can chip in. Remember, our call-in number is 1-347. Hold on, it was skew over. 1-347-989-1473. If you incur a cost, our toll-free number is 1-877-907-7217. So you can call us in. And like I said, if you have any advice that you want to throw in, please feel free. You can do it in the chat room and you can call us. All right, so I have this lady that wrote me, and she said, "Dear Ordinary Woman," which I found hysterical that that's what they did, and I'm not making fun of her, I just thought it was wicked cute. "Dear Ordinary Woman and Mountain Man, I want to let you know that I really enjoy listening to your show, and I kind of had a dilemma, and I was hoping to ask for advice. It seems that all my dreams are always going different from what everybody in my family thinks they should be. I've always been the type to think big, but my family feels that I should focus more on an everyday kind of existence as opposed to dreaming big. I always felt that there was something special inside of me, but as my parents, I know not in a bad way, have suggested, everybody feels that way, but that is not the case. I really wanted to know if there's any suggestions you guys can offer as far as what I should do. I've always wanted to be a writer, and I feel that I have a story to tell, but my parents feel that I should focus more on just having an ordinary career where I can pay the bills with. Thank you again for any help that you can give me. I really enjoy your show. Lovingly, Gail from Peabody." That's a tough one, guys, because I'm on both spectrums. I have been a parent that has had kids with big dreams, and I have to admit that there was a point in my life where I wasn't so receptive to those big dreams of, oh, I want to be an actor, singer, rapper, dancer, whatever, because reality kind of had slapped me into place where I was like, you know, you do have to pay the bills. You do have to put a roof over the head. Now, having gone on the other side of it, that had happened because I had been a dreamer as a young child, and I was repeatedly told by my mother that it was not practical. Not practical at all. Now, Andy has a great suggestion. He says, "If you only do what you've always done, you only get what you've always gotten." And that is the deepest thing that is so true. Because the reality is, and again, Amy, you're absolutely right. You know what, Gail? You need to really go with your heart. And I know it can seem like I'm opening a can of worms. And the reality is, I tell this to anybody that asks me. If you do something that you love to do for a career, you're never going to work a day in your life. That's just the reality of it. Am I going to tell you that you're going to go out and sell your novel tomorrow? No, I can't. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen, because it has happened. There have been instances where that's happened. But the reality is, usually if you feel that there's a story you have to tell, there's a story you have to tell. Is something you need to share. the reality is that if you don't do that, if you don't follow your heart, you're going to be very miserable. And if we all stop and take a second to think about it, we know of a lot of very rich people, very successful, very powerful, that are very unhappy. So that's the key right there. And oh my gosh, Angel Girl, see, I have the smartest listeners, which is why I love the fact that we have this chat room component here. Angel Girl says, don't follow your dreams, leave them. Amazing. That's very true, and I like that because that if you break that up into two parts, if you're following your dreams, it gives you this connotation that you're not in control, that you're kind of at the whim of whatever happens to be out there, and that's not the case. If you do lead your dreams, which is a very good analogy, the reality is that you take control and you decide where those dreams are going to go. The reality is, too, is if you have a game plan, you can get where you want to be. If you want to be a writer, you can start writing now. I mean, I don't know from your letter how old you are, but you seem to value your parents' opinion maybe because you still live with them and you might be younger, or maybe you're older and you value what they say. You can start writing at any level. I know the first thing I've always did, I always kept a journal. And a lot of people always think that a journal is just you writing your thoughts and, oh, you know, I sat next to John in chemistry today and we made Google Eyes. Or I hate my mother, she made me clean my room and wouldn't let me go to dance. That's usually how journals start. But you can be a lot deeper than that. I mean, I have friends that scribble poems in their journals. They write stories. They write story ideas. I have friends that are artists, and they do a lot of sketching in their journals for rough drafts of stuff that they might want to do later on. So a journal is a great way for you to start getting that creative juice going and figuring out where this story that you have is going to lead. There's other venues for you to gauge, like obviously take writing classes if you can. If you can't, there's a lot of places on the internet that you can go. Like, for example, helium.com. I do not work for them. I am not sponsored by them. It's a great place where you can sign up to write short stories and have them read by other people that they can give you opinions, they can critique them so that you can go. There's a lot of writing groups on online as well where you can go and get an feedback from kind of a group of your peers so you can see where your writing is at. Another suggestion is all the local libraries usually have a writer's group that meets monthly, and it's all levels. So you might be in the room with a published author, and you might be with someone that just recently started writing. So that's a great way where you can get the courage to read parts of what you've written and have them critiqued, and that way you know where you're going. Andy says, look at it this way. Those others who don't think your life should be what you want won't always be there. They'll move on or pass away, but you will be stuck with the rest of your life. Use it. And you know what, Andy? I have to say that is like the deepest point that you can make, because the reality is, and I've had friends, I have a friend, as a matter of fact, she went into the nursing profession because that's what her mom wanted. Her mom wanted her to be a nurse. And sadly, after all those years of school and 3 years as a nurse, she hated it, was absolutely miserable. And what she wound up doing was going back to school and becoming a social worker. And I know it's sad because the way society is, social workers don't make that much money. Nurses make a lot more. So, but for her, it was a high-stress job. You could say there was no thanks in it. She didn't make that much money. But she was happy because that's what she wanted to do. So, Gail, the only thing I can suggest to you is that you need to really follow your heart in that sense. Like everybody that's in the chat room saying is true. It's so funny, they're talking about all the quotes that they got from different people. And another thing, too, that one of our people in our chat room said, Amy says, she waited too long. Don't waste your life doing what other things is right. If you fail, you will have at least enjoyed trying. If you never try, you will never know. And Amy, I agree with you on that, because I was one of these people that I always wanted to be an actress, loved it, dreamt about it as a little kid. I would actually have like these full-blown plays in my room when I was a young kid. And it literally got talked out of me because it wasn't prudent. You couldn't make money. There was no guarantees. So come full circle, after my children were almost all out of the house, here I am, a woman in my 40s, finally saying, you know, I can do this. Where it's going to lead me, I don't know. Like, Gail, I can't tell you that I'm going to win an Oscar. I can't tell you that I'm going to make $100 million making movies. It doesn't matter. Because to me, with the first time I worked on a real movie, Edge of Darkness, we had a 14-hour day, and some of our listeners have heard this story. I was on my feet for 14 hours, 85-degree weather, dressed as if it was winter in New England. So I have a turtleneck on. I'm dressed in a full cop uniform with the gun belt, the hat, the rain jacket, because they're pelting us with fake rain. So needless to say, it was very hot. And at the end of the 14 hours, I didn't have the opportunity. We didn't have lunch. They told us we're not going to break you for lunch. We have snacks and water and everything, but we can't break you because they had rented out this whole train station. So they had to get the takes in or whatever they were going to do. I remember going home and saying to my husband, 14 hours, on my feet, so hot, blah, 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 blah. And he's giving me this look like, okay, he's waiting for it, waiting for it. And I was like, it was the best day ever. I cannot wait to do it again. See, Gail, that's when I knew that it wasn't about the money or it wasn't about the fact that that production, I worked on that movie for 33 days and every little bit of me wound up on the cutting floor. I didn't care. It didn't matter. It was the excitement of being on set, getting to meet people like Mel Gibson, being friends with someone like Bill McLean, who's been on our show several times, and now I consider him a friend. That's where we met. All these other amazing people that I got to meet from the acting industry locally and in other areas. So the reality is that you really have to follow your heart in that sense because, like Andy says, you're going to be stuck with that life for the rest of your life, not your parents' life, not your neighbors, your spouses, you. And if it's not something that you're passionate about, it's going to be a long life. The reality is when we open our eyes in the morning, Gail, our first thought should be, yes, I get to do fill in the blank today. If it's the opposite where I have to do fill in the blank and you're miserable about it, you know pretty much that was the wrong choice. So I don't know how helpful that was, but just like I said, sweetie, you got to really think about it. And that doesn't mean you have to be disrespectful with your parents, and that doesn't mean you go run off and join a commune where you can only write. You just can't make a game plan. Talk to people that have done what you want to do, get a game plan going, and try to see if you can reach a medium road. But ultimately, like Andy said, it is going to be your life. There will be a time where you will no longer be under your parents' roof, that you will no longer be under their control. And basically, it's going to be your choice. So remember that. With that said, I have a phone call. Okay, guys, bear with me. I really hope I don't disconnect you here. Hello, you're on the Diamond in the Rough show. Who is this?
Hello.
Hey, it's my American Idol correspondent. See, I feel so important when I say that because it makes it seem like we're bigger than we really are. Also, we really are big. Like, I have 100 employees right here, right now. So, my angel girl from American Idol world, how is it going?
It's good. I didn't watch last week's episode, but because I was out that day.
Yeah.
But I saw the highlights, and the judges, I think I don't know how many saves they have during the season, but they use one save on, like, a certain somebody who they want to save. So they used their last one on one of the contestants, Casey Abrams, and he's a really good singer, and America,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, and I don't know why they voted him in the bottom three, but he's a really good singer, and the fact that he was in the bottom three. It was so emotional. Everybody was like they were like in like that suspense, you know, that eerie. And they were like, oh my gosh, what happened? Why is this guy, you know, in the bottom? And so the judges used their last save. And he thought he was going to go home too.
You know, I have to wonder, and for you guys in the chat room, you can give me some feedback, or if you want to call in, feel free to call in. I want to ask this because I had mentioned before, and I wasn't really big on American Idol for a few years because it really kind of fell by the wayside. But this year, for some reason, because of the changes that have been incorporated, I decided, let me just take a look again because I'm so big on getting the indie singer or performer or whatever out there. So I decided to look at it. But I have to ask, no, Amy, she's so cute. Is it bad that I don't watch Idol? No, Amy, it is not bad at all. This is kind of like the reason I'm harping on it, and it's kind of because it's going to have pertain to a couple of talks that we're going to have later on in the year, where we're going to have a couple of guests that specialize in social media and social networking and social promotion on the internet. So this is one of the reasons that I bring it up. And I wanted to hear from you guys, the performers, the ones that, even if you're not a performer, if you have any savviness when it comes to that, I want to hear. Have you guys gotten the impression that at times it's really not about the talent? It's more about who is more recognizable, who can get more people to call in, and basically a popularity contest. Now, do you get that impression, Angel Girl, when you watch it?
I think sometimes it can be portrayed as that because a lot of people, like, they do, favor their one person that they like, and they continue to vote that for that same person. And then people do continue to do that as a popular thing. That's why in the past, American Idol was kind of, like, based on popularity votes and all that stuff and not because of their... Because of the, you know, like, it was because of favoritism, you know, and people, I guess, like, the viewers and people who watch it, they don't really understand, like, why the vote is important. It's not just about popularity. It's about making that person's dream come true or something like, you know, something like that.
Well, you know, Andy has a good point. He says that that's what the whole entertainment industry is really about, getting butts in the seat, which is very good, very true, because, you know, we see that people love a train wreck. I mean, that's sad. And it's a perfect example, Lindsay Lohan. Very talented young girl, had a promising career going, had a lot of talent, basically a triple threat. You know, she was a great actress. She could sing. She could dance. Used to put on a pretty decent show, quickly turned into what I call a train wreck because of, you know, whatever reasons she has issues. Yet America gravitates to that. They want to read about her in the tabloids. They want to know what's going on with her court case and her, you know, drinking and her drugs and her relationships and all this. So it's kind of like feeding into this frenzy kind of thing. But my whole thing is, if it's about talent, why can't it be about talent? Like, I'll give you a perfect example. We were talking earlier about My Silent Bravery, and I find it offensive that these great acts get nominated for awards, and then basically they are at the whim of the public. And I understand, obviously, it pertains to the fact that if you don't sell records, you don't get big. But the reality is that there's a lot of really great actors, I mean, a lot of great artists out there, singers and likewise, that just aren't at that point yet where they have the savviness. Because the reality is you don't have to be that good to get people to vote for you on a website or on a TV show where people are calling in. Like, I'm going to pick on Amy, like Deborah Crosby. That's one of the reasons where I literally fell in love with the concept. Because Deborah is very smart in the fact that she has to have a weeding out process because, for one thing, she seems to be a magnet for amazing talent, and she does draw a lot of it. But, yeah, they have the concept where you do have some of the acts on the website and, you know, people do vote or whatever and weed them out, and then they go to the showcases. But the reality is the showcase is not a popularity contest at all. You're either going to sing your butt off or act your butt off or whatever you're going to do and really impress those judges, or you're going to go home empty-handed. And I feel that that's kind of like how it should be, but, you know, granted, you have Jennifer Lopez and, you know, Steve Tyler and Randy Johnson that they're giving their critique, but do their votes really count? You know what I mean? It doesn't. It's just like, I'll tell you if you're good or not, and then it doesn't matter. That would be like when I was a guest on the Deborah Crosby show as a judge, where I'm saying to somebody, you were really good, you know, but maybe I can suggest you do a little bit more of this or a little bit more of that. We always kept it very positive because that's the thing I love about Deborah. She's not about cutting these people down to size. It's about building them up and making them better. But our decision isn't overridden by a bunch of people that are go happy with the texting or the phone calls, because the reality is you can have a really good talent that doesn't have that fan base that's on the smartphones and on the internet, so they don't get as much as the votes. So Andy has a good point. He said, exactly, it's an America Got Talent, not America's Got Issues. We already knew that. That is so funny. because Amy said, I always feel that so many talented people are overlooked because of the stupid antics of audition rounds. Very good point, Amy, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I have known some amazing singers that were left standing in the tent and a person in a clown suit literally would put through. Very true. I remember a couple of years back, I actually went with somebody to an American Idol audition. And thousands of people, very true. But it is, if you have some, and I couldn't believe it, because my son Alex, he worked with this kid. Oh, my gosh, I'm trying to keep a straight face here. The kid went and, like, dressed like his Uncle Sam or something, and he was rapping, and he wasn't a good rapper to begin with. And it literally looked like the kid was just doing it on a dare. You saw the kid on TV. Granted, he didn't make it to the next round, but he got on TV. He got in front of the judges. They listened to him. Meanwhile, there's this other little girl that I knew who had an amazing voice, country style. She didn't make it in front of the judges. They just barely skimmed through her, and that was it. So, Amy, you're absolutely right. It's like, if you're going to call it American Idol, it has to be America's Idol, which means you have to take the time and the place to really listen to them, to let us hear and see what they got. But the reality is that the ultimate has to be with the judges. What do you think, Angel Girl?
I do think it's America's Idol. That's why it's called American Idol. And there's always going to be that one person that's going to become known and out there. And I know that's what the entertainment world is like. They give that one person the continuous ability to, like, to go on, and, like, and I know some artists and stuff, like, they want to become known out there, you know, because they want their talent to be known, you know, and this is what I love to do, and this is who I am, that type of thing. And I see that with American Idol and stuff, and I really don't think, like, it's based on favoritism or anything. I just think it's just an opportunity for people to, like, compete and also, like do what they love and, you know, like, have their dreams be known in some sort of way. It doesn't have to be, and they don't have to be on a show to do that, you know what I mean, to become that person.
Right, exactly. You know, it's kind of sad because you kind of wish that there was a way that we could actually see this talent. Because the thing is, and I don't mean me personally, because obviously, I mean, all I can do is give you little exposure on my show. It's not like I can go and give you a recording deal tomorrow. But my whole thing is that, I mean, some of these people that should get exposure, you know, the ones that have talent like Amy was talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they got the opportunity to be on television for a 10-second, 5-second segment, that can be the difference between them not getting any exposure or never going from beyond where they are to actually having an opportunity to do something else. Because a lot of the people on American Idol that haven't done, quote-unquote, anything in the sense of, you know, we don't know about them, they've gone on and done other things. You know, they've gotten the opportunity to do other stuff. So it's just a matter of, and sadly, I think reality television was kind of like the death of anything meaningful on television, because it's basically who can be the most obnoxious. And I'm probably going to get clobbered for this. Jersey Shore is a perfect example.
Yep.
They took a group of people that literally have no redeeming talent. And again, I'm not being negative in any sense of the word. I'm being realistic. There is really nothing extraordinary talent-wise with these people that they picked, but because they put them in certain situations where they're fighting and they're getting loud and they're basically creating caricatures of whatever character they want them to be, that's where they've gotten famous. And these people are making millions of dollars. And then someone like My Silent Bravery, and even Amy, who has an amazing voice, is still trying to figure a way to get the exposure. So it's just, you know, the reality TV, I think, really was kind of the downfall of that. And I'm a big advocate that I really think that there needs to be more venues like Deborah Crosby that gives these kids an even chance. Because I will be honest with you, if I didn't think that Deborah Crosby's Talent Quest was impartial and really gave these people a chance, I wouldn't have anything to do with it. And that's why I loved it. That's why I used to love her dad, Dave Maynard, when he was on community auditions, because he legitimately gave these people a chance. I mean, you went in there and you auditioned for him personally, and his assistants were there to pick the people that were going to be on the TV show. But at least you felt some sense of validation because you actually got to audition for the man. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's why I absolutely love it. Andy has a point. He says, are you talented often gets overshadowed by are you bankable, which I think is very sad. That's very true, and I talked about this before. If you guys remember a few shows back when we were talking about American Idol, I mentioned Jennifer Hudson. Great example of the fact that here's this woman who was flat out told by Simon Cowell, you're too big, you're too this, you're too that, you're probably not going to make it. Here she is years later, and I hate the fact that people say to me, well, she lost the weight anyway. Irrelevant. She was the size she was on American Idol when she won that Oscar, when she won that Golden Globe, and she went double platinum. So whatever perception that you have to be a size double zero or whatever to make it in the industry, it really makes me mad because that has nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing to do with it, because the reality is it's all about the talent. And Jennifer Hudson is a perfect example of the fact that she used her talent to do something with it. And yet you have someone like, again, not to pick on anybody, Lindsay Lohan, double zero, here you are, you've got talent. Didn't do anything with it. So again, it's, and even going back to what Andy had said and Amy, and even what we said to Gail, it's taking your dream and leading it, because the opportunities will be there, but you got to be ready for them, because the reality is if we're not looking for them, we'll miss them. So you're right on that. So what I really want to encourage you guys to do is really reflect on that. Like, and I, like I said, I keep bringing American Idol up because it's kind of like my experiment this year. Because, like I said, later on in August, actually, we're going to have a social media expert that's going to tell us how very easy it is for you to get the exposure you would like on the internet, and for you to be able to do stuff. And I'll give you a perfect example. You guys know I have a radio show and I have a blog that I actually have several blogs. One's about sports, one's about family life, one's about my perspective as a grandparent. And I have to laugh because my dog, Buddy the dog of mystery, has two blogs, and Buddy has more fans and a bigger following than I do. And I find that funny. And I think it's pretty awesome because I'm actually catching up to him. Buddy actually has more followers than I do on Twitter. You think I'm laughing? If you guys are on Twitter, look him up. Dogs World, DAWGS World. He had like 1,500 followers. And that was actually a bet, which goes to show, because one of my sons, we were talking about that, and we kind of dared each other. And I said, I am so good at internet networking that I can make sure Buddy has 500 followers in a weekend. And he says, no way. There's no way you could do that. So I opened a Twitter account for Buddy, because Buddy has his own blog, on a Friday, and by Sunday night, Buddy had 998 followers. So it's all about what you can do with your savviness and with your internet the working, because I even mentioned that on the Deborah Crosby show. There's a lot of us spend a lot of time on the internet, but is it the most productive thing for what we're doing? Amy's the queen of that. I love picking on Amy because Amy's short and sweet and to the point. Like when she's online, she's out there getting the word out about her show and Deborah Crosby and what's going on, reaching the judges. Another thing, I'm going to put her on the spot, which I love. Amy has taken the electronic thank you to another level. Back in the day, we were taught etiquette-wise that, you know, you send a thank you note whenever anybody, you know, invites you somewhere or whatever. Amy doesn't mess around. I think by the time I got home from being a judge on the Deborah Crosby show, there was already a thank you to the judges on Facebook. And that's huge. That is really huge. People don't realize how big that is. Because on top of the fact that the person serving as a judge who took time out of their day to, and I can't even complain because honestly, it was the best show ever, and I had the best seat in the house, and it was free. Loved it. But the fact that, you know, Amy is so on the money about it and, you know, got on there and gave me the thanks. But the other thing that came out of it was I had people reaching me saying, what is it? What is the Deborah Crosby thing? What were you a judge at? So that I was able to refer them onto the Deborah Crosby website and they could get more information on that. So that's very huge too. So Angel Girl, what are your predictions for American Idol? Which one do you think is going to get voted off the stage, as we might say?
I say Thea. She's kind of like, she's the Thai Asian type looking girl one, and she's really young because she doesn't like every single performance she has done. I'm not saying it wasn't good, but I'm saying she could do more like up tempo, you know, shake the crowd up a little bit, that type of thing, like the judges said, because most of her performances were kind of boring, and you know, like she doesn't like light up, like she's beautiful and all that stuff, but she doesn't really light up, like have that stage presence yet in front of the crowd. So, know what I mean?
You know, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought this, which is funny because I love how I love putting you on the spot because, like I said, I gave you a job. You don't get paid, but that's all right. Don't you all like to volunteer people? You're my American Idol correspondent. Deal with it. No, it's a great point that you brought because this girl, she's very beautiful. You're right. And, you know, she's well-shaped and whatever, you know, God love her. And she does have a decent voice. And I like what you just said because it goes on to what Amy says. Amy says, it's about the voice, not the body that it comes in. And it is something I myself struggle with every time I take the stage because I'm a big girl, too. All right, Amy, about the big girl. Okay. You know what? The reality is that a few years ago, that would not have been considered big. I think you have what is missing in a lot of people, which is called curves, girlfriend, and they're all in the right place. But the reality is that I would take Amy and put her on the stage next to this girl that you're talking about, and Amy would blow everybody's mind because of the fact that Amy has that it factor that they talk about. And I've seen her perform. I've seen her savviness. And I love just that attitude. You know, like, this is me. Deal with it. And she lets her voice do the talking for her. And I really think that's what it should be. So it's a great point that you brought that up because, and Amy also talked about the fact that Aretha is a big girl. Luther was big most of his life. And you know, and the reality is, again, it's where we're going in society. I mean, if you think about it, Marilyn Monroe was considered a size, you know, she was like a size 16 back in the day. And, you know, she was constantly being chastised about, you know, oh, she's got curves. And that's why she was so sexy. And that's why she looked so great in the outfits and stuff. And that's why it was about her attitude. Marilyn Monroe wasn't the most talented person. She wasn't the best actress. She wasn't the best dancer. But she had that it factor that had the ability to be able to sell what she was singing about, and that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. So you think that she's definitely the one that's going to see you later, bye?
I think so. I mean, she made it so far. I mean, she made it since the audition and stuff, and, like, she continues to, like, sing her butt off, but at the same time, she just needs to, like, really, like, her stage presence needs a little bit more work and stuff. Like, she has a voice, you know, she's beautiful, like I said, and she's young, so she probably needs a little more experience with that because you got to have stage presence in order to, like, go to continue, like the other contestants on the show.
You know, and that's a good point because even though with the fact that it does seem like it's a popularity contest at times with the votes and stuff, if you are a singer and you are serious about doing this for the rest of your life, actually going to an American audition or any kind of show audition is a great experience because you get to get a feel for how many other people have the same dream you do. And it's not a competition thing. This is something that is very difficult for some people to understand. I'm a big proponent of The Secret, the book. And one of the things that it says is that it's not a competition because we're all different. That it does give you, one thing, it helps you fellowship with other people that have the same dream you do. And there's nothing cooler than when you're in a room, and I call them my nut bowl, that you have a bowl full of nuts, and all the nuts get each other. You know what I mean? Like, you'll have a walnut and a peanut and an almond and a praline nut, but we all get each other because we're all kind of headed in the same direction. And it's really cool because it's one of the times that you feel fully accepted.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that I loved about finally going after my dream of being an actor, especially here in the New England area. I can't say how it is in Hollywood or anywhere else, but the reality is that one of the things that I found is that they were so helpful. Like, everybody wanted to pitch in. Everybody wanted to let me know what was going on. And that was such an amazing feeling, you know, just and a feeling of friendship and support. And it's kind of like family. And it's kind of cool when you have an additional family on top of your own family, but they get you. Because maybe not everybody in your family wants to be what you want to be. And that doesn't mean they don't support you, because, you know, like my kids, I'll go to all their shows and stuff. I can't relate to that. I'm an actor. I'm a public speaker. I do live theater. That's different from me opening my mouth and having music come out, like in Amy's case, or trying to rap and make it sound good, or being a dancer like my daughter does. So the reality is that it's very different. So it's kind of cool when you are with a group of people that know, because they've been there and they do it as well. So that's one of the things that I think it's a great experience. Not only that, these kids that actually go through the process, even though if they don't make it to the show or whatever, I think that just the guidance and the training that they get while they're there is huge. And again, even locally, like with Deborah Crosby, I'm going to bring that up because I remember the first time seeing a particular act, and then I remember I caught the same person a few months later performing night and day. I mean, it was night and day. You can tell how much more they progressed, how much more involved they were with the audience, how much they were trying to own the stage and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's definitely about continuing to keep it growing and to make sure that you become the best artist that you can. So, Angel Girl, thank you so much.
No
being
problem.
My correspondent. So next week, same time, same place?
Yep, same time. Hopefully.
Same cat channel, same cat cave. So, thank you so much. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Angel Girl, our American Idol correspondent, calling in. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in.
Yep, no problem.
All right, have a good night.
Yep, you too.
So we have a caller on the line, but before we go to the caller, I'm going to go to a quick break so we can play a little song here. And just to let everybody know, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywomanWMN. You go right there at the segment page. You can listen to us as well. The call-in number, if you want to hear us, 1-347-989-1473. You can call in. Or the toll-free number, 1-877-907-7217. With that note, let me play a little bit of the smooth hip-hop of Anthony Garcia, and then we're going to go take our caller. And we are back.
All right.
Hello. You are on the Diamond in the Rough show. How are you?
Oh, hi, Charlie. This is Frankie Bergamo from Medford, Massachusetts.
Frankie, my man, how are you? I am so excited to finally get you on our show.
Oh, doing great.
Man,
thank you,
you're a busy guy.
Yeah, doing a little of everything.
For our listeners, if you have not had a chance to check Frankie's stuff up, go to our segment page and you'll get just a little inkling of him. But if you Google him, trust me, I got tired just thinking about it. I was like, wow. So, Frankie, my man, tell me, what are you up to lately?
Well, the last movie I was in was A Fighter recently with Christian Bale and Mark Wahlberg. We did that. And I just played a nice part of, I was a prison guard, actually. And that was the last movie I did. And then the movie coming up in a month from now is called What's Your Number? Did some work, background work in that. And I just keep been busy doing some commercials. Today I went to do a photo shoot for some magazine type things. And we're keeping busy with that and commercials and movies, cooking. A lot of, as you know, I'm a cookbook author, and I was on Emerald Live. A few years ago, I wanted to contact.
You know, I have to tell you, Frankie, I'm going to interrupt you right there real quick because I have a question for you, and I want to go right into that point because, you know, we get a lot of, you know, like you're known for being an actor. That's your thing. But you have so many facets to you. Now, I have to ask you, how did you get into the – now, what do you consider your primary career, acting or writing or one of the other thousands of things that you do?
Well – actually, they're probably all on an equal basis because I'll tell you why. I predominantly did first I got involved with the cooking, and I wrote a cookbook, and then I was in a contest over the Food Network, and there was like 1,500 contestants, and they picked four in the whole country. Emerald picked four, and I was one of the four. Actually, was the top winner, and after that happened, they filmed me in Boston and walking around. Going to the North End and buying the ingredients, the Italian butcher shop and things like that. And then they came back to my home and I made a recipe. And then a week later, they flew me out to New York City and we did the Emerald Show Live, right on Emerald Live on the Food Network. And after that, about 2 weeks after that, I started getting calls from casting companies. And they wanted to know if I was interested in doing some movies. And at that time, the movie that was filming in Boston was called Stiffs with Danny Aiello. So I got involved with Boston Casting, and I got a part in that movie. And then from there on, I pursued it more and doing the acting. And then I did about 10 movies of short films for cable, for TV3 Medford cable stations. And we were entering some you know, those Filmmaker America contests. And we had actually won four or five times, so... And after that, I just kept doing all the films, and now I joined AFTRA,
Now, I have to stop you right there, so because I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, because it's funny, because just before you came on, we actually had one of our listeners sent in a letter, you know, kind of asking advice, because she was having this dilemma about following her dream or doing what was, you know, the responsible thing. And one of the things that gets me is that, you know, we always dream about, okay, like Lana Turner, for those guys that are history buffs. Lana Turner is sitting there cutting school because she was bored and decided to go have a Coke or a frap, and next thing you know, a casting director sees it, and, you know, the rest is history. And we've heard of cases like that, but the real world tells us, well, you know, that's the exception to the rule. Now, you're telling us that how many people submitted for this competition?
1,500.
So 1,500 people submitted.
Right.
And how did they submit? Was it a video submission or a resume? What did you guys have to do?
You had to submit a resume. You actually had to send in a resume and tell them about yourself and why you like cooking and all that. It was something. It was on the Food Network website on the Emerald Live show. They had a website. You had to go on there, and that's how I found out about it. So I submitted my recipe, and I told them where I grew up and my nationality, and I grew up in Boston in the North End, the Italian section, and told them how I watched my grandmother and my mom cook for years and years growing up as a kid, and things like that. And it was a kind of a long letter, you know, growing up. And then I submitted it, and then that's when a month later, I got a call from the Food Network saying I was in, like, the top 100. So I didn't think anything of it. And then
right.
another two weeks later, I was in the top 25. And then
wow.
that thing was another 2 weeks later. After that, then they said I was in the top four, and then I was the top winner. So it was kind of like
really.
I was shocked. It was a very, very exciting, and you know, because he's like actually one of my favorite chefs too. So it was like a dream come true,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
So then after that, like I said before, you know, that's what happened.
That's amazing because it's such a one of these, you know, amazing, like, dream fantasy stories where, you know, this guy sends in, 1,500 people do too, and then you wind up getting picked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you went through the process, because, like, I think it's, like, such a cool story that happened to you, were you nervous when you finally got there, or was it something that you just had visualized and dreamt about so much that you kind of said, I got this?
Yeah, well, first, like, when I first found out I was in it, I said, do I really want to do this? Like, I don't know. I was kind of confused. And I said, but this is like a big honor, you know, to get out there and being with, you know, Emeril Lagasse on the Food Network. So, plus, like I say, he was one of my favorite chefs. And that's the reason why it was a dream come true. So I wasn't really nervous. It was kind of weird. It was like I got out there. When I went to New York City, I was on the show. I was very relaxed. It wasn't, I think all the frustration just went away. You know.
Now
so
you mentioned that you used to see your mom and your grandma cook and stuff. Have you had any formal cooking training or any culinary arts in your background?
Not really. No, not professionally. Not in
That's
a culinary
awesome.
School. No. But I just I like learned by the ingredients and about the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, the restaurants and the social clubs and family. You know, things like that. And then after I wrote a cookbook, and which is on the market now, and I have it's a good hardcover book out there, and it's a lot of fun. I enjoy cooking. It's like a passion type thing.
Now,
you know?
It's funny because my mother had an old saying, and she calls it in Spanish. She used to say it's cocinando ojo. You cook by eye. And when I was younger, I was like, what the heck does that mean? Like, you know, you have your eyeball in the pot or something, right? And it was another thing that she added. She's like, when you cook from, you know, you cook by eye, and you cook from your heart,
right,
that's
exactly.
where the flavor is. And, you know, it's funny because, that's what you did.
Yeah.
Now, so when did you write the cooking book? Was it after you were on the show?
No, it was before. It was in 2003. And,
really?
I was on the show in 2006. So what happened
I have a question.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question because, you know, it's kind of random.
Yeah.
When did you know you wanted to do a cooking book, and how did that come about?
Well, what happened, when I was working, you know, I was a supervisor of the Postal Service, and, you know, for many years, I was there for over about 30 years. I started very young. And
mm-hmm.
in my career, a lot of people used to always ask me for recipes, you know, because they know I lived in, you know, an Italian neighborhood, and I was around all those restaurants, things like that. So I used to give people just randomly, like write it down right in front of them. Here's how you make this, here's how you make that, especially on holidays. Like, because, you know, like on holidays, like the Italian culture, we have certain dishes, like in many cultures, there's certain dishes
mm-hmm.
that like on Easter, you may have, they call pizza gainer
yep.
and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I was just randomly given so one day, my wife and I were sitting down, and my wife said, why don't you should write a cookbook? And you're giving all these recipes out to people, maybe we can put it together or something. So she helped me do it, And I put all the recipes down on paper, and we sent it in to be published, and it went right through, and it's been on the market now for about 5 years, so 6 years, so that's good. So that was good.
See, that's awesome. You know, it's funny,
yeah.
too, because you're actually touching on a subject that, again, we were talking about earlier, about how important it is when we have support from
right.
like-minded people. So,
right.
you know, the fact that, I'm sorry, I, you know, you have to admit, if a gentleman says to his wife, you know, I want to do a cooking book.
Right.
It's not something that we go, okay, let's go do a cooking book, you know. So it's a testament to your wife knowing
mm-hmm.
what kind of person you are that she's
yeah.
like, okay, let's do this, and you guys got it done. So it kind of makes for a good team effort there where
yeah,
you guys got this accomplishment then.
Yeah, well, my wife,
now,
she's very good with the, you know, like she does a lot of work on that for me, you know. She's very good with the arts and crafts, computer work, things like that, and, you know, photography. And she did kind of a lot of work for me. So She's very good at
that. So it helped a lot in that sense.
Yeah,
now,
it did.
So you did the cooking book, and then you wind up on the show, and then you started getting these casting calls. Now, had you been doing acting before you were on the show?
No, I haven't, no. But I love that.
You know,
yeah.
I'm going to interrupt you. I absolutely love that because we were just talking about it because Amy was another one. She's one of our listeners. She was in the chat room. She mentioned how, you know, she waited till later in life to go after her dream. And I've always advocated to anybody that listens to me, it's never too late. You know, and okay. Yeah, it's never too late. And people go, well, you know, you can't go.
Like last couple of years, I've taken classes. From professionals like Tom Logan from Hollywood at the NEMG office in Manchester, New Hampshire. Actually, I remember there, and I've done some photo shoots for them. I've done commercials with them now since then, and so things have really fallen in. But like you say, it's never too late. And I advise a lot of people like just follow your dreams, and things will happen if you have to put a lot of time and effort into it. And you'll be okay,
Now, you mentioned about putting time and effort into it. Can you just, if someone were to ask you, all right, Frank, I'm a little older, getting into the business, because, everybody knows what you have to do when you're younger,
right?
What are some of the suggestions that you would have for people if they were saying, when they are like our age that wanted to get into the industry? What were some of the suggestions that you would make to them?
Well, I would start off at the bottom, and start off doing some extra work and getting to know the operation or how they make the movies and meet people. And then in the meantime, while you're doing that, take a couple of classes.
You say about taking classes, can you be a little bit specific? What kind of classes do you suggest? What have you done as far as training when it comes for acting?
Well, the first class was called Breaking Into the Business. That was the title.
Mm-hmm.
That was the title of the class, and what they did was, we went on a weekend seminar, and they show you how to team up with people, how to do commercials, and then but at the end of the seminar, they put all the everything on video, and everyone watches to see how you did, and then they have questions and answers on it, and how to better yourself, and they show your errors, and they show your good qualities too, and then it's. It becomes a more relaxing atmosphere by doing that, I believe. And, then after that, I've taken a couple more classes there, and everything's working out fine. I get a lot of calls now. What happens is after you do all this, then you start getting well-known, and you get calls from all the casting companies, and then you end up, you can get speaking roles, and, you join the unions and the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
And then things will work out. It takes a little time. I'll be honest with you, it does take a little time. But it depends on how many movies are out, too, and if you're willing to move around.
It's funny, too, because when you go to auditions, you mentioned that once you work, you get called in for auditions and stuff.
Right.
Do you ever find that you kind of fit something that they're looking for, or all of a sudden they see you and go, oh, maybe this will work?
Well, sometimes if you fit the specs, I think you have a better shot of getting that part. But sometimes what happens is, it's a funny thing. This business is funny. Sometimes you go do an extra part and you end up getting a speaking role. Sometimes you get a speaking role and then you end up being an extra. So
very true.
These things happen, people have to know this because you don't want them to get frustrated and go to be in two movies. They want to be big actors. It does not work that way. You have to put a lot of time.
It's funny too, because sometimes you wind up doing different things. Like I know for me, I was working as Edge of Darkness was my first movie that I was in, and it was kind of funny because I didn't understand anything. They're talking to me in the lingo, and I'm looking at them like, okay. So they're like, oh, you want to be a precision driver? And I'm like, okay, precision driver to me, from my background, means I'm going to go crashing through a wall or jump over a curb, because that's what I used to do when, I was in the police academy. So it was kind of funny when they're like, no, it just means you could drive forward and back. But it was funny that because, and this is something that I want to share with my listeners, there's a lot of stuff that you bring with you from other careers, other experiences that will serve you very well if you're thinking of going into the acting industry, because there's things that you can't fake. And your ability to drive, people take that for granted. Not everybody can back up with 20 people looking at them with a time constraint to be able to get to the same spot. And it was funny to me, I took that for granted because, you know, I used to drive like a nut at 100 miles an hour going to emergencies. So that to me was like, what do you mean you can't back up? But it wind up giving me more days working on the set. And
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I know
what you're saying. That happened like we did Body of Proof. Now, Body of Proof, we filmed it in Providence, but I wanted to do a regular part, and I auditioned. I could have got the part, but after we did that, a few days later, they said they were looking for Boston people. They were looking for Philadelphia people. So you see things like that happen too. So then you say to yourself, gee, they made me study the whole script, and I did a good job when I auditioned for her. But then the next couple of days, they changed it. They wanted a Philadelphia accent. So you see, sometimes what happens is you can, like they've had classes to lose your Boston accent, which I never took before because sometimes I think you can benefit by it, you know, since they do the movies in New England.
You know, Frankie, you are too funny because I got called in to, I'm a public speaker. That was my first thing, you know, and before that I was a cop for 20 years, but I did a lot of court work where I was actually in the courtroom testifying and I did public speaking. So, and this is funny, coming from a Italian-Spanish background.
Right.
Losing the accent was very important to me, not just the Boston accent, but because I had aunts and uncles that still had the thick Italian accent and the thick Spanish accent, and you're like, good Lord, what are you saying kind of thing. So it was funny because for years I purposely worked hard at having a nondescript accent. And then it was funny because all of a sudden they called me to our town for the town, and they're like, oh, we want you to come in, but you know, we need someone with a real heavy accent. And I'm like, holy crap. I wind up actually calling my son. It was so funny because my son is like the man of a thousand voices. I literally had him go with me to the audition, and we spent like a couple hours talking on the phone so that by that time I could actually have the accent. And it was funny because it felt forced. Like,
I know,
really? Like, and
the other thing too.
And the other thing, too, Frankie, that you never know is that I remember, like I said, Edge of Darkness was my very first thing. And the only reason I even heard about it was because my son was the one that went in for an audition for something else. And I heard them mention that they were looking for people that had law enforcement backgrounds. So I was talking to one of the casting guys. And he says, yeah, definitely, you know, send me some pictures and a resume. You know, headshot. I sent him a regular headshot.
Right.
I remember getting a call 2 weeks later where he says, well, do you have a picture of you in uniform? And I'm like, yeah, why? He's like, well, because the casting director doesn't see you as a cop.
Wow.
I thought it was hysterical. I'm like, I've been a cop for 20-something years, and they don't see me as a cop. Great.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It was funny. And so it wasn't until I sent the picture of me in uniform that the casting director said, oh, okay, now I see it. So the reality is that you never know what they're looking for.
Oh, no, that's true. I mean,
you're absolutely right.
No, because that's like you say. Like, see, if they're looking for a police officer, you know, to play a part as a police officer, they can call you because you do that every day. You know, it's your job. And you'd be really, you would be much better at it than having to train someone, you know?
Well,
so
like my kids say, that's not really acting. You're just being yourself.
That's what I'm saying. But you know the ins and outs of the way it's supposed to be done, probably. I don't know. I've seen that happen. Like, I've seen people who they are looking for a doctor. So I called a friend of mine who was a doctor to go and do a part for Boston Cast.
Right.
He's a real doctor. So they said they're looking for real doctors. So, you know, it's something like that. That can happen, too, you know. You know, so, I don't know.
You know, it's
kind
true,
of a funny, it's a crazy business. You never know what they want, you know.
You know, it's funny because I have a friend of mine, Bernie. He's a riot. I actually wind up beating on his chest for like 4 hours because we were doing a medical training video, and he was supposed to be the patient. We were doing CPR and first aid on and stuff. And he was funny because he was telling me he's been in the business forever. But now he says, now that he's in his 60s, he's like, I get more work than when I was younger.
Well,
because he found that niche.
Right.
And in your case, too, you have that look where, and I love it, because you have this look where you could be a detective, you could be a cop, you could be a
right.
captain, or you could be
yeah.
a politician, or you could be a freaking mobster, or you can be a tough guy. And that's the thing, you know, because you have that
yeah.
face that you can kind of blend with it. So it's kind of like how you are able to adapt yourself to the
yeah.
industry.
Well,
now,
Now,
I have a question. As far as,
yep.
so you wind up doing this work and stuff. Where do you see yourself going in the future with the acting?
Well, I see myself going in some big motion. Well, I did a lot of motion pictures, you know, big films. And I like to get some, like, a major speaking role in a major movie, you know. And just keep at it, and it'll happen, I'm sure. And things like that are going to happen. So just get to think positive and go along and just keep plugging away, you know, more or less. Go to all the movies, and it'll happen. I don't know when, but it will, you know. And that's like my goal that I have. And I've been working on some things now, because you say being busy. I'm a lot busier now than I was when I worked for the Postal Service. I do a lot more now. I'm working on some demo reels and things
mm-hmm.
like that, you know. And like you say, like, you hit the nail on the head. Like, the different parts, like a detective, a lawyer, you know, things like that. And I'm making a video as a chef with another person, which will be like a comedy thing. But we're going to be in a chef uniform in the kitchen, and you know, do things like that. I've also done some corporate videos, you know, like I played
mm-hmm.
a patient in a hospital, like I played a doctor,
right,
you know, things
mm-hmm.
like that. So you know, you have a lot of fun. And you don't want to get stereotyped with one different type of, you know, character, you know?
You know, that's
you know.
Funny, too, because it's, I have to say this, it is kind of funny, though, because
yeah.
I forget who said this to me. He played a lot of detectives, and he said that, and it was a funny bit of advice, he said that someone asked him, aren't you afraid of being stereotyped as a cop?
Right.
And he said, well, if I'm being stereotyped, it means I'm being cast into that type. So it's kind of funny, but I know
yeah.
exactly where you're coming from, because
yeah.
for me, it was kind of, I think the first time I got cast not as a cop, it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was cast in a very tiny little part. It was like my first speaking part. I had a couple of lines in an independent movie, and I was a bank manager. And it was
yeah.
weird. Because, as a matter
yeah.
of fact, it was funny because during one of the takes, I actually tackled the bank robber because he came
oh, wow.
at me too fast, and I forgot
oh, wow.
that we were just filming a movie.
That's
so we got a great blooper out of that.
That's great.
But it was just, you're
that's
right,
funny.
Because it's so different. Like,
well, it
like it's so funny. Cause,
yeah, I mean, it happened to Joe Pesci, I think. You know, he's a guy,
yeah.
he's a good actor and everything, but he doesn't play a mobster or one of those, you know, Goodfellas type movies.
Right.
Well, I don't know. See him. I don't see him in doing anything else but that stuff. I know he's done a few other things, but I don't think they were big hits.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah, I think
he's got
it's funny for me.
You know?
Yeah,
you
it
know?
Is serious because I know for me it was funny
right.
because, like I said, I was so new to the acting and stuff that the director's giving me direction because we did a couple of takes. He's like, all right. He's like, when you come around the door and you see the bank robbers with the guns, I want you to look really scared. And I'm looking at him going, why?
Yeah,
can I just shoot him and tackle him? He's like, no, because
yeah.
you're not a cop, you're a manager.
That's right.
And he said he's funny, and he was so funny, because, and this is what I love about the humor with the acting people.
Yeah.
He says, pretend you're a scared girl.
That's funny. That's good. You're doing a good job.
It was.
You're doing great. I read your things, you know, your bio and all that.
So,
you're doing a good job.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Frankie, I need to ask you, so
yeah.
What else? What other projects do you have coming up that we can look
out right
for?
I'm doing a Sundance film called DJ Stand the Man. I play a photographer,
mm-hmm.
and I'm one of the four people in the major role, speaking roles. And we're filming
really?
Again. I just did a couple of scenes last Sunday, and we'll probably film more in May, and I think April and May. It might be done by June. I don't know. And I'm
mm-hmm.
doing that right now. Then I'm doing another one in May. I'm going to be doing in a pizza place out in Beverly, Mass. And it's going to be a comedy thing with two other actors. And that's
uh-huh.
I just got the script. And we'll do that in May. And I'm working on stuff like that. You know, these small things sometimes develop into, you know, develop into something good for you, you know. You get to by experience and by exposure. Exposure is very important, as you know, and people see that.
Right.
And I was in, like, a Pink Panther 2. I was in a lot of shows. I wasn't a speaking role, but it was like a principal role. I was in like 34 shots. So it was like all the banquet scenes. So you walk around.
In what movie was that?
That was the Pink Panther 2 with Steve Martin and Andy Garcia.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And now I know. It's funny you mentioned that because I remember. It's funny because, one of the things that happens when you come into this industry, and it's funny because you have to be careful when you do it. They think you're name dropping.
Right.
You see people and I'm like, that's Frankie. And people think it's such a big deal. But I'm but that's just Frankie.
things like that, And actually, I when they saw it, I didn't go to the premiere that night. But I got a call the next day from people. I said, how come you didn't come to the premiere? You were all over the screen, and things like that.
You were all over the screen. It was so funny because I went with my what's her name? My niece was in that movie. I didn't actually be. I wasn't in that movie, but she was, and it was so cool to see all these people that you knew. And it's funny because people say, "Oh, you're such a show off. You're name dropping." I'm like, no, I'm just pointing out the fact that I'm really excited. That I know someone, really know someone that it's in a movie. It's like such a big deal. So, Frankie, you are on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook, yeah.
So if our listeners want to get more information on Frankie, you got Frankie Imbergamo. He is on Facebook. The last name is Imbergamo. You can also find him on our segment page, and you have a couple of links. Is there any websites that you want to direct listeners to?
Well, there's an IMDb. You can go to IMDb because that's the International Movie Database, and that'll if you go to IMDb.com, you can key in any actor's name, and they'll tell you what movies they've been in. If that's helpful for there, but or you can just Google search my name, and I think you'll get more out of it though, because you can go
definitely
to FrankieBergamo.com.
Awesome. So you can look him up on his own website. And Amy, one of our listeners, is saying she wants you to be a judge on their Deborah Cross Cosby talent show. So we're going to have to get you hooked up with Amy to do that. You'll have a great time there, a lot of talent. Anyone like to say greetings to, shout out, saying, hey, what's up? I'm here.
Hey, I say how all my friends in the Boston area do the movies. And there's so many people, and... There's no one in particular because I have too many friends.
Oh my gosh, you're so popular. You are Frankie. Yeah. Everybody knows you. I swear to goodness, I don't think I've ever been somewhere where people don't know who you are.
I literally know
who you are, and I think that is so cool.
Well, that's nice.
So,
it's
Frankie,
nice
definitely going to have you back on the show because
I think it
merits. Because I know you said you had some projects coming up this summer.
Yes, I do. Yep. I'm working on it right now, actually, yeah. I'm working
on. So I'm going to have you back so you can. What are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on a few of those movies right now, and then I'm working on getting a demo reel, and I'm doing some they call webisodes, and the webisodes for corporate.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm a member of the New England Models group, and they're very helpful. They're very good. And
that's
things like
excellent.
That.
Well, that's awesome. So definitely we're going to have you back so you can tell us more about the great stuff you're into. For our listeners, you've been listening to Frankie Imbergamo, and you can actually find him on his own website, frankieimbergamo.com, or you can find him on Facebook. He's a great actor. He's also on IMDb, and we're going to definitely have him back so that he can come and share some of the projects that he's got coming up this summer. Frankie, thank you so much for being with us. It was such a pleasure to finally get you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Very, very, very enjoyable. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great night.
Thank you, Charlie. Bye-bye.
I'm telling you guys, he is awesome. Some of the stuff. You know what? I cannot believe I have a caller. Hello, Diamond in the Rough Show. Who is this?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Teabag Hard on the Sack. And you belong in the kitchen, you woman.
What the world was that? I have no clue. Okay, guys, I think officially we got our first prank caller. I have no idea. If y'all can decipher what the world that was. Oh, man. Amy says there's my last quote steal of the night. I have too many friends. Love that. Love that. I'm telling you, it's the coolest thing. You know, a couple of days ago, someone put this thing on their profile about their Facebook friends, where they're always there. They make comments. They wish you happy birthdays, blah, 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 all this stuff. And in a way, sometimes they know more about you than your quote-unquote real friends. That's why you consider them real friends. And I think for me, the greatest pleasure that I've gotten is where I've formed a network interaction relationship with people, and then I physically got to meet them, like Amy, that I got to meet at the Talent Quest, and Frankie, and Shelly Nunchucks, and Bill McLean, and blah, 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 all these people that I've had the opportunity to forge a real relationship once I've talked to them online. So it just, I cannot believe, I say this every week, I cannot believe how much the time has flown by. So guys, thank you so much for putting up with this one more night. I am so excited. And Andy, what is this we speak of? The free beers was a wicked sweet deal, but the car showing up was sort of dude dead. Trying to decipher the Boston accent he's writing about. Yeah, it's funny. You met me in the meat world first? Wait a minute. What? That's funny. We were just talking about how difficult it is to suddenly get an accent when you're acting and then keeping it. It's funny because, like, getting back to the Boston accent, it's kind of cool. When I hang around with Sour, thank you. I got it now. Sour. How could I not know that? It's funny because my brother lives in Chicago, and the couple of times when we talk, he says, you got to say it, you got to say it. He will not let me start having a conversation with him until I say wicked, because that's my key word, wicked. Or wicked, the other thing is I say kid. You're wicked pissa kid, and he thinks it's hysterical. He's like, that is so funny. I was like, okay, that's so Boston. So to everybody in our chat room, thank you so much. We actually didn't even get a chance to get to too many of our Dear Ordinary Woman questions, so next week we'll definitely have to hit those. So Amy Mulquin, definitely a pleasure as always. I am so going to hit you up about that. I am excited about an actual sports talk show with two females. I think that's awesome. You want to go to the, and Amy's funny, she's like, I want to go to the meat world. Is there filet mignon? Absolutely. Andy, thank you so much for joining us again. Betty, Billy, Franny, Gary, guest 7925, which I'm guessing might be my old buddy Snow. Not sure, but if it is you, hey, what's up, Snowman? Miss you. Haven't talked to you in a while. Heidi, infamous angel, my angel girl. Linda Sue, thank you so much for being here. Mary Rose Robert, Starlight. You know, it's pretty cool when we get all these people in the chat room that I have to scroll. And Wesley, thank you so much for stopping by. I am so grateful that I have such amazing listeners and just the continued support of you guys. Real quick, before we check out, I want to have you guys, again, go to Facebook. I feel like I'm always sending you guys to Facebook. If you are in the New England area, there is a road race coming up. It's called Run to Home Base 9K Fundraising. If you Google it, you'll find the actual group page. What it is, on Sunday, May 23rd, there's going to be a Run to Home Base. It's 5.6 miles, sponsored by the Red Sox Foundation and Mass General Hospital. Now, what it is the funds will be going to help support injured veterans that are coming back from war. And it's going to help them be able to get them the services that they need. So this year, they're having it again as well. So if you guys can Google it, there's a few people that are running it. My friend Dan Paquette, which we had on the show last year, actually was running it. And guys, please, you know, I have to keep repeating this. Our veterans are our lifeline. Whether we agree with the war or not is irrelevant. It's the fact that these men and women were willing to go and fight for our freedom, no questions asked, so that we would have the freedom to do what we're doing right now, having a show and going to sing and watching television and being able to walk around freely without fear of persecution. They do that for us. And some of them, unfortunately, don't come home because they make the ultimate sacrifice. But by the same token, there are those that do. and still have the scars. So we really need to support them. So if you can, make sure to check that out. Run to Home Base, 9K fundraising, sponsored by the Red Sox and Massachusetts General Hospital. If you're not a runner, then maybe you can sponsor a runner or get the word out. It'll be a great thing to do. Amen to you too, Amy. I totally agree. And thank you, Infamous Angel. She's thanking me for having her on this show. Andy's so cute. He salutes. I love you, Andy. You're awesome. So, guys, again, have an awesome week. And remember, for all my listeners, the two pieces of advice I leave you with every week, nothing is impossible to the willing heart, and do not let anyone ever steal your dreams away. Thank you so much for honoring me by letting me come into your private space, and for you listening to me and for your continuing support. Love you all very much, and I am eternally grateful. And remember, we will be back next Thursday, 7 to 9 as well. So enjoy. And on that note, another plug for my silent bravery, Smoke by My Silent Bravery. Have a good night and a blessed week.
Like a thief.